Our first reading for this evening is from the 7th and 8th chapters of Nehemiah. Now when the wall had been built, and I had set up the doors and the gatekeepers, the singers and the Levites had been appointed, I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the governor of the castle, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a more faithful and God-fearing man than many. And I said to them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they are still standing guard, let them shut and bar the doors. Appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, some at their guard posts and some in front of their own homes. The city was wide and large, but the people within it were few, and no houses had been rebuilt. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that they made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites helped the people to understand the law, while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be quiet, for this day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, and to send portions, and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the square at the water gate and at the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. This is the word of the Lord. Be to God. Our second reading is from the 5th chapter of 1 Timothy. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue our recitation of the Ten Commandments with the fourth. What is the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our fourth commandment tonight, honor your father and your mother, we usually just think of it in regards to father and mother. And yet, when we look at our lives, we can find a lot of people who have authority over us. And that's what this is talking about here in this commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities. And when we think about that, we have a lot. So if you look at a parent, if they have children, that parent has authority over their children. But if you think about even where you work, if you are a boss, you might have some employees that report to you, so you have authority over them. Even in the church, we speak of having authority. A pastor has certain authority over what is taught and caring for the congregation. The elders have certain levels of authority as well that God has given us, entrusted to us to use, and hopefully to use well. And especially in the church, ultimately, if we keep going up, the ultimate authority over everything is God, who is the one who gives authority to parents, gives authority to pastors and elders, gives authority to workers, gives authority to all governments. Not that all those authorities use their authority rightly that God has given to them. No. I haven't seen a perfect parent yet. I'm certainly not a perfect parent. Have I abused my authority? Probably at some point. But when we think about authority, we often will think about the one, and we hope it's being used well, the one who receives it. But that doesn't always happen, does it? Children don't always listen to parents. Employees don't always listen or respect their bosses. People in the congregation don't always like what the elders say or even what I say. So we have those times, but boy, wouldn't it be great if every time, like, a kid gets upset with their parent or doesn't do what their parent says, they go running to mom and dad in tears and say, "I'm sorry, mom, forgive me. Dad, I'm so sorry, please forgive me." Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you still have parents around, you can still do that to them. They would love it, I bet, if you come in tears, "I'm so sorry." Or at work. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, say the manager is using their authority rightly and an employee badmouths them or went against what they said, and maybe not in tears, that would be unprofessional, but they come and say, "I am so sorry, will you please forgive me?" And the boss would say, "Of course, I'm so glad you came and talked to me, that's wonderful." Or even in the church with pastors and elders. Say we are using our God-given authorities rightly and according to Scripture and God's Word, and people don't like it, and they fight and badmouth and slander and bicker. And yes, that does happen sometimes in the church, but never here at Zion, right? Never. And say that does happen, that once in a blue moon event, and that person comes to the elder and says, "I'm so sorry. I was upset. I shouldn't have been. God's word is right. I'm so, will you forgive me?" We say, "Of course we do. We're a Christian congregation." It would be so nice if every time, well, first of all, it'd be so nice if everyone who's been given authority uses it rightly. But it'd be so nice that every time when we break that, when we malign the authority that so many people have over us, it would be so nice if we could always turn and say, "I'm sorry. You are right. God is right." And we've come back in repentance. That's what happened tonight in our Old Testament reading. You may remember last week we read this, we had this passage. I think it was also from Nehemiah. Oh, it was from 2 Chronicles. Where they lost the book. They basically lost the Bible, right? They lost it. Didn't know where it was. Remember I said it would be like going into a back of a cabinet. They're cleaning it out. They find the money box, you know, and they find some pots and pans. And what's this dusty book back there? They found the Bible, basically. Okay? It's wild, huh? They lost the Bible. Well, they did. God bless them. They were very upset about it, right? They wept. They wept. And that's what also happened tonight. It's like the people of God were still getting used to having this Bible thing back in their lives. And this is what happened when they read about God's word and read about the authority of God in his word and how they had broken it. And this is how they reacted. So they read from the book, from the law of God, the Bible, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. And why were they weeping? Because they realized God had been asking certain things from his people. Faithfulness. They were supposed to be performing certain rites and rituals in their worship, and they weren't doing it. God had clearly laid out his authority in the Word of God, the book of the law, which was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those first five books, laying out the stories, the narratives, and they weren't doing it. And they felt terrible about it. God definitely had authority to say what their worshiping life was to be like and to even say what they were to be believing, what they should be believing, what they should have faith in. And they didn't. Nehemiah further said to them, and I find this very sweet, because not only does God have authority to tell us what to do, to tell us what to believe, to tell us how to act, he has authority, he can do that. But God also has authority to forgive. Even the ability to forgive, like a parent forgives a child, a manager forgives a worker, elders, pastor, forgive here in worship, doesn't come from any of us. A parent doesn't intrinsically have authority to forgive. A worker doesn't really, it's not from within their essence. Certainly not from mine to forgive your sins. What do I say to you as a called and ordained servant of the Word, Jesus Christ? And by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. So ultimately, all authority to make laws and demands comes from God. And all authority to forgive, all of it, everything that you see in your life, whether you're a parent, worker, church, all of that also ultimately comes from God. An amazing gift. And that's also what God gave to his people. So think about this. I'm going to read you another little portion. They're crushed because they realize they love God. They love the one true God. And they're crushed because they realize they haven't been doing what the one true God has asked them to do. Nehemiah tells them, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. What were those words? Forgiveness. Release. The priest told them, "You do not have to be grieved." And why? Because God forgives them. God has authority to forgive. God has authority to give us life. And God wants them to remember that. They did something funny, not funny. It's funny to us. But then they get together the next day, the priests and the Levites. They came together, Ezra the scribe, and this is what the Bible says, in order to study the words of the law. So they're looking at what they just told the people a little more closely. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And they were to dwell in these booths for basically a week. Okay? And then the Bible says they went out and they cut palm branches and leafy branches. And they basically made, like, we would think, like a tiki hut. Imagine a little tiki hut, but smaller. I love these booths because you know what it was? After they left Egypt, remember their slavery? After God release them from Egypt, because he had authority to release them. God had authority to preserve them, to forgive them, even after they had made a little golden calf and worshipped it. He forgave them. And he wanted them to remember the authority he has to forgive and to love. So he told them, for 1 week, every year, go live in a booth, which I think of it as like, it would be like the size of a kiosk that you see at a mall. And they would build these things on the roof of their homes. They would build it in their front yard. I mean, it would look silly. Imagine if all of us, everyone in Bridgeville said, "Hey, it's the week of booths. Let's all pitch a tent in the front yard, backyard, on the roof. Why not? It's summer. It's hot." And you live in the tent for a week. Why? To remember that God has authority to release you from slavery to the Egyptians. God has authority to keep you alive as you wandered for those decades in the wilderness. God has authority through Jesus Christ to forgive our sins. God doesn't call us to live in booths anymore. If you want to go camping for a week, go right ahead. While you camp, if you want to remember this, go right ahead. That's a wonderful thing. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, we have the greatest booth we dwell in because we live in him. He is our life. He is our forgiveness because he has authority to forgive us. He won it for us, right? In his death on the cross. And he gives it to you. We don't have authority to forgive ourselves. That doesn't usually last very long anyways. You hear that all the time. You need to forgive yourself. Nah. What we really need is Jesus Christ to forgive us. And he does. He does it every week in the absolution. He does it when we have the Lord's Supper. He does it whenever we remember everything that he's done for his people all these years. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.